It's a sad inevitability that a correspondent in the United States will eventually cover a story associated with gun violence. In less than a year, our North America correspondent Michael Vincent has covered multiple mass shootings, as well as random attacks on individuals. As he reports for us today, none of this violence has made much sense, even less so a shooting that happened right outside his Washington, D.C. home.
Easter Monday is a major family day at the National Zoo. I was at work, but my wife and kids went to enjoy the egg hunt and other festivities.
Happening now in Northwest Washington, police are looking for the person who pulled a gun and started shooting into a crowd of people late this afternoon outside the National Zoo.
I heard three shots, and many people were screaming and running across the street into the drugstore, and they locked the drugstore.
Everybody dove to the ground, parents on top of their children, cops were on the ground, weapons were being drawn. It was chaos.
That was the evening news. I got home pretty quick and my family was fine. So I headed over to the police press conference to find out who shot who and why.
At this point, we have two adult males that were victims. One was shot in the left hand, one was shot in the left arm.
Hearing the sirens, seeing the yellow tape, and looking over at my home, it struck me how sadly mundane shootings really are in the United States. Let me take you back a few years to the 1980s, and a single day that stands out in my childhood. It was my first experience of Washington, D.C. as an 11-year-old on a family holiday. We were awoken in our motel room by the manager's voice on the phone. "Please stay away from the windows. Don't open the curtains. Police are outside dealing with a man in a car with a gun." I remember peering out those curtains at officers in black vests in position and seeing absolutely nothing happen. So bored, I went to watch cartoons. Another call from the hotel manager revealed the owner of the car had been arrested. He'd fallen asleep with a rifle. It wasn't clear whether he was drunk or high or was attempting to take his own life. My father took me to the zoo. More guns. This time our day was interrupted by zookeepers racing around trying to track down a raccoon, which may or may not have had rabies. The guns were apparently loaded with darts, but I didn't know that at the time. We left the zoo, and the day's action wasn't over. Standing waiting for our train to go back to the motel, police jumped on a man on the opposite platform, smothering him to the ground, while others stood there with guns drawn. All this in one memorable day. To hear my dad remind me of it now is to hear him describe a very excited 11-year-old boy.
"The guy in the car was, I remember you going to the window and trying to peer through the curtains when you were told explicitly not to. I remember you, the shouts on the platform of the metro, and you were trying to find out what was happening, and the train drove out on the other platform, the guy lying face down with a cop standing over him with the guns out. And then at the zoo, the monkeys shouting and screaming, the keepers running through the zoo with the guns, the shotguns, and you jumping up and down trying to find out what was going on. I think you thought it was, say, it was a normal day in the life of America."
"That was pretty excitable, huh?"
"You were very excitable." "Mm. I don't know that I was very happy."
I'm now 38 and guns don't excite me. Since the beginning of my Washington posting, I've covered the Navy Yard mass shooting, the Fort Hood mass shooting, a drive-by shooting at a Chicago park, the Trayvon Martin Stand Your Ground shooting trial, the two men who shot each other dead after a road rage incident, the former police officer who shot a man in a cinema over the use of a mobile phone, and many others I can't remember. And then, of course, the one I will never forget, the shooting of Australian baseball at Chris Lane. I even went on CNN to try and explain to an American audience why Australians were so outraged by Chris Lane's death. But on that Easter Monday, outside my home, listening to the police call for help to locate the shooter, I wondered what they thought about what had happened. Peter Newsham is an assistant police chief of Washington, D.C., who's been in the force for 2.5 decades.
"Do you ever feel surprised anymore when you turn up to a scene of a shooting like this?"
I don't know if I would say I'm surprised. Whenever you work in a major city in America, there's a potential that there'd be a shooting and you have to go to the scene. It's very unfortunate that it would happen on a day like today. You know, we have a very special event going on at the zoo.
In your time here, you've seen a massive reduction in the number of deaths from gunshot wounds and then a reduction in the number of shootings, but it's still quite a lot. I mean, you know, we're talking hundreds of shootings a year.
Yeah, I think, but yeah, I think what you have to do in the United States is you have to compare us to similar cities with similar demographics. You know, unfortunately, in the United States, is firearms are accessible. There is violent crime in our country. When you compare our crime here in the District of Columbia, it's a city of about 635,000 people, with similar cities with similar demographics, our crime is very, very low.
Do you remember back in the bad old days?
I do. In the late 80s and the early 90s, it was a very violent time to be in Washington, D.C. I think we had, unfortunately, we had been named the murder capital of the country. That's how bad crime was here in the district. It was very bad. And, you know, a lot of people have worked really, really hard to change that. The police department, but the social services agencies, the city in general, all the people that work in the city, the community actually, one of the biggest things that we attribute to the decline in violent crime is that the community is a little bit more forthcoming with information than they used to be in the past. There's two reasons for that. I think they have a better relationship with the police department, for one, but I also think that there's less fear because there's less violent crime. And, you know, there was really a reluctance to come forward. Fear of retribution against the violent criminals. And so both of those things, it's working, and we're moving in a positive direction. In the last 4 years, the homicides have continued to decline. Violent crime has continued to decline in the District of Columbia. It's an extremely safe place to be.
Do you find it frustrating as a police officer knowing that an event like today can be ruined by someone? We don't know what the motive is, but potentially having an argument with someone, seeing someone they're already having a beef with, and pulling out a gun instead of, you know.
Yeah, I mean, there's bad actors, and I think that you have seen governments across the country here in the United States really starting to focus on the bad actors and violent crime. I think we're going to get to a day where you're going to be able to identify a bad actor like this and get them off the streets before something like this happens. I think we're getting there.
But it always comes back to guns, doesn't it?
You know, I don't want to say that, you know, because there's a lot of people that own guns in the United States, and they own them and they don't create any problems. If you want to talk about illegal possession of firearms by bad actors, that's a problem. You know what I mean? And there's other countries, I'm sure, where there's access to firearms and they don't have the homicide rates that we have. And I think it's bad actors as opposed to guns.
The bad actor in this case, a 14-year-old boy. A recent Associated Press report said 40% of the shootings in New York City are committed by teenagers. Honestly, I still have so much to learn about the United States. Why, I'm still left wondering, why is no one in this country shocked that a child not only has access to a gun, but will use it to take a life? This is Michael Vincent in Washington for Correspondence Report.
Bad actors, I've not heard that term used in that context before. I thought that was someone who couldn't act, but there you go.